It was just after a weekend of partying, and I was looking to go to work, possibly on the next Monday morning. And I was sitting there in the yard of my cousin's house, and I was sitting there, and I thought to myself, "There's got to be something better, because I'm going to end up killing myself, or something's going to happen."
Staigute. Welcome, my friends, to The Storyteller, where you'll find First Nations people from across Native North America who are following Jesus Christ without reservation. On today's program, we'll hear from a man whose life was headed the wrong direction, and he knew it. But was there really anything he could do about it?
My name is Kim Chultosky. I am from the Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians. I was raised in Cherokee, North Carolina, which is a reservation about approximately 30 miles off the Tennessee border in North Carolina. I was born on the reservation. As a matter of fact, I was born. I have an identical twin brother. We was the last twins born at what we call the Cherokee Indian Hospital before it went to the counties and before it was overtaken by the BIA. We are, like I said, I'm an identical twin brother, so pretty unique in a sense that, when you raise a twin, you get to, you always have somebody with you, somebody, a friend. You know, you've always got somebody to watch your back no matter what happens. I also have an older sister and an older brother and a younger brother. I'm a twin. So we was raised in a family of, five children and, mother and father. My father was a, worked for the, BIA for many years. He did a lot of traveling and, he was concentrated on his work quite a bit. So he wasn't, at the times when he was growing up, when we was younger, he was mostly gone. So we lived in a house, about 15-20 miles from the town of Cherokee in the mountains called, place called Big Witch. And, we lived in a house and, with my grandfather. My grandfather's name was Waddy Chultosky. He was a carver. He always constantly carved. He had a workshop and he would go in there in the mornings and he wouldn't want anybody to come into his workshop until he'd come out. And then when he come out, you could go in and do whatever else. But most of the time we never had a talk. He spoke mostly Cherokee, so it was hard for us to communicate with him. As children, we never grew up speaking Cherokee but when my father was going to school, he went to boarding school. And at that time, they would actually, if they heard you speak any kind of Cherokee whatsoever, they would actually whip you, or they would actually, in some form or fashion, punish you, because that was against school policy, against school rules to speak the native language. And so my dad, I guess, grew up thinking that, you know, I went through it and you are not going to go through what I went through when I went through boarding school. And so we never actually had a relationship with my grandfather, even though he was in the same household. He died when I was 13 years old. Also in around the community was my cousins, my aunt and her four children. So we was all approximately the same age. We hardly ever come out of the mountains when we was growing up. It's sort of like one typical day, when I was about 7 or 8, would be you'd wake up and it'd be sunshine and whatever. You'd go outside and play and you'd stay out there and then they'd call you in for lunch and then you'd go back outside. You'd spend all day outside. It was just a really quiet atmosphere to grow up in. But one of the drawbacks is we never found out who our relatives were because we never come out. We'd go to town every once in a while to say to Bryson City or to Waynesville or to Silver to shop, but most of the time we would stay in the mountains and just be there. We wasn't raised in a religious background, but my father did, for many years, sung gospel music. He was a well-known guitar player and singer. and he sang in many gospel groups during my childhood and sometimes during my teen years, but he never actually went to a church. But when I was approximately 15 years old, I desired something in my life, and I went to a church just in walking distance, probably about 3 miles from my house. And I went up there and just for to see what it was like. I guess I was looking for something different in my life. I would go to church on a Sunday morning, and I would get up and go, and everybody else would be asleep or everybody else would be doing whatever. And then I'd go to church and I'd come back and they'd ask me where I was, and I said I was just up the road. Everybody looked at me like it was, what are you doing? Where are you going there? What are you learning? And you can't explain it. And so I kind of fell back into not going to church. Nobody actually really of my family actually really asked me what I was doing and what I thought about it. And then it just kind of went away. Then I grew up and I turned my life and was actually again looking for something else, and I turned my life to sports. And when I turned my life to sports about the sixth or the seventh grade, I would go to school and I would practice sports every day after school, and then I'd come home and do my homework and go to bed. And it was like, that was my day. And then on the weekends I would go off into the woods. And so basically that's the way it was my whole high school years. And then started coming out when I got to in my senior year. On my senior year, I was playing sports, and I was we'd just basically won, coming second in the state playing football. I did really well in wrestling, and then I did really well in track. We ran, won a lot of awards and stuff in track and wrestling. But at that point, my senior year, I decided that I wasn't going to run track. And so when I did that, it was approximately about 4 months before graduation. I met a Marine Corps recruiter, and I signed up. He said, "Here you go. If you sign up, you can get 8 month delay program, and we'll give you so much money to go in." So I signed the paper and said, "I'll go." Well, at that time, I wasn't running track, so I turned, and I realized that I didn't have to. All I had to do was graduate. So I was on a roll, all the way up until that time. And when I started going out and partying and doing all kinds of stuff with the other reservation kids, and wrecked a couple of cars and really got really out of hand. And then in graduation, I actually passed graduating after all the years of making A and B honor rolls and being on an honor club. I just barely passed. I barely graduated with a 70. It's like they just give it to me to get out of there. And at that point then, my life really got out of control because I was going into the Marine Corps. And I went into the Marine Corps, and for 4 years it was like a blur. And I was stationed in California for 4 years. So for 4 years I didn't have to come home. I didn't have to, you know, I'd send money home to my mom and dad because I did wreck one of their cars probably about a week before I went to the Marine Corps. So I was paying for a car, but I sent money to them for every payday for 4 years to pay for a car, and they ended up getting them a new car and stuff. But that was just the way I am. I had to pay for it somehow. I got out of the Marine Corps and I come back home, and I'm live with a cousin of mine, and all we did was party, and I found me a job with the state. And one day when I was, it was just after a weekend of partying, and I was looking to go to work possibly on the next Monday morning, and I was sitting there in the yard of my cousin's house, and I was sitting there and I thought to myself, there's got to be something better. because I'm going to end up killing myself, or something's going to happen, or I'm going to lose my job, or something like that. So I actually looked up to the sky, and I prayed. And I said, there's got to be somebody out there for me. There's got to be a woman out there that doesn't party, that concentrates solely on taking care of the family or whatever, but it'll be right for me. I wonder if there's somebody out there. And if there is, I'll quit this stuff and I won't have to do it no more, because it was a way to waste time. It was a way to fit in and a way to waste time. Well, unbeknownst to me, at approximately the same time, my wife of 20 years now, Linda Chiltowski, Linda Smith at that time, she actually prayed the same prayer, because we talked about it later, and it was approximately about the same time, on the same day actually. And we met each other, and we just kind of, we didn't think it was who we prayed for, but we tried it and we stuck with it, and ends up that she had two children of another marriage. But I met her, and we talked about it, and I met the kids, and I loved the kids right off the bat. There was one of them was 3 years old, and one of them was 5 years old at the time when I first met them. One day, while we was eating breakfast, because we lived together, because I finally decided for me to change my life, I have to move out before staying with my cousin. So I asked her if I could move in with her, and she said yes. So I moved in with her and the kids, and the kids were staying with her mother and father most of the time. But when I moved in with her, I got to dealing with the kids quite a bit. And one morning we was eating breakfast, and the youngest one at this time was 4 years old. She come up and she said, "Do you know that it's a sin to live together without being married?" And I looked at her and she looked at me, and it's like, you know, out of the mouth of babes, you know, what do you say? It's like, you sit there and you kind of wonder, how do you answer this question?
Well, that little girl sure got Kim's attention. So what exactly is sin? It's anything we do that offends our Creator. My friend, God is holy. He has a standard, and we've all broken it. But some of us are too wrapped up in ourselves to even care. That will change one day when each of us stands before our Creator. Are you ready? You can be if you'll humble yourself, turn to God, and put your trust in Jesus Christ, the one who makes us right with God. Jesus died on the cross for our sins and rose from the dead so that we could be forgiven and have new life with Him forever. God tells us in the Bible, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit." If you would like to know more, please visit our website, withoutreservation.com, and click on the tab, New Life. You can also write to us at The Storyteller, P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota, 56619. That's The Storyteller, P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota, 56619. Our phone number is 877-766-4648. Want to take The Storyteller with you? Be sure to download our app. Thanks for listening. And remember, the greatest story took place at the cross. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's more to Kim's story, so be sure to join us again next time as we listen to The Storyteller.